Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is Get Out of the Rut and Get Into the Groove of God.
Thank you, Pastor. My knee's gone weak when you prayed. Good morning, church. Oh, so nice to hear you respond back. That's awesome. First and foremost, let me just organize myself. I love coming to church. You love coming to church? Yeah? It is such a place for freedom. This is our daddy's house. This is an amazing place to be on a Sunday morning. Amen? It is a privilege for me to actually stand before all of you to speak about my most favorite person in the world. I would love to say my mother, but it's actually Jesus Christ. Ooh. But I'm here as a messenger of Christ to bring a word in season, I pray, a word that would transform us, a word that would bring us to a next level in where God wants to take us. Amen? I just want to give thanks to TBCs. It's the TBCers. You guys were wonderful. Weren't they wonderful? Were the mothers blessed? Yes? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I'm just not proud of them because I'm leading TBC, but I'm actually proud of them because I can see what God sees in them. And I pray that we as a church uphold them in prayer, uplift them in prayer, and speak life into them, encourage them, and tell your history. Actually, tell his story to them. Okay? And, you know, just speak life and just encourage them because they are a rising future. Let me rephrase that. Our rising spiritual leaders. Amen? So they can pass on what you have passed them, the praises of God, so they can pass it to the next generation. Amen? And I want to give thanks to the mothers. I also want to have this opportunity to actually thank all the mothers for love, for your kindness, for your patience, for your responsibility that you know, sometimes husbands or kids forget that, you know. Okay, I shouldn't speak for the husband. Sorry, I'm not a husband. you know, but sometimes we forget how wonderful our mothers are. And I just want to thank you and just really, really, really thank you for serving your family and to the body of Christ. I wish my mother was here and my sister and my grandmother, my late grandmother. They are like the mothers in my life. They have been so faithful to me. I really thank God for their prayers and their patience. They literally went through hell for me back, but not literally. Never went through hell for me, but you know what I mean. Yeah, but I really, really want to thank them. So church, I was asking the Lord, what am I to share with you all this morning? What has God put in my heart to share with all of you? He led me to the book of Colossians, and I will be speaking from chapter 3. But just to give you a little bit of what I will be sharing today, I'm going to talk about how Jesus brought us into life, how the journey and the struggles that we face along the way, and how we get back up in Christ. Does that sound good? You're interested to hear? Okay, good. The book of Colossians talks about the supremacy of the work and person of Jesus Christ. The people there, the church, mostly Gentiles, and not there yet. I even want to introduce my title. Ooh, sorry, Robert. No, not yet. Not the slide yet. Okay, the church back then in Colossae, they faced a serious doctrinal and practical problems. They were having false teachings. New Age movement was actually creeping in to corrupt what God or what Christ has come to do for us. So it was a threat to the believers. Yeah. So today, the title of my sermon. Now you can put the slide on. Thank you. It is Get Out of the Rut and Get Into the Groove of God. Hey, Pastor gave me that sermon. Title, sorry, not the sermon, but the title. Okay, let's just pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, and we acknowledge your Holy Spirit is here. That, Lord God, every word that comes forth from my mouth is not what I know, what I understand, but Father God, it is coming from the throne room. And Lord God, I pray, oh Father God, that each and everyone who has ears will hear, will listen. And Father God, it will take root, that it will be a seed for all of us, Father God. And Lord, I just thank you, and I ask, oh Lord God, that you have your way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now let's get into the Word. Are we excited to read the Word? Yes. Okay, let's go into Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Are we there? Yes, we are. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Hallelujah. We'll go with the first verse again. Robert, thank you. It says, if you were raised, in my understanding here, if you were raised, it's talking about our new birth, right? We talk about when we first come to know Jesus Christ. We all here know Jesus? Yes? Do you still remember how when you first came to know Jesus? Let's just go back, just flashback, just take this few seconds, 30 seconds, to just think back and recall what God has done for you, how he took you out from the kingdom of darkness and brought you back into the kingdom of light. Maybe you found God in your deepest troubles. Maybe you found God in church when you were attending church with your parents. Maybe you found God when someone told you about it. Maybe you found God when I have nothing else and I choose to believe. Do you remember those times? Sweet, wasn't it? Because the moment when you accepted Christ, you feel like, yay, I've got the freedom. And then you start rah, rah, rah and worship. And then after that, what happens? I like what Anna said just now. You know, God is a God of suddenlies. You know, when we accepted Christ, God did that suddenly for us. And that suddenly was justification. Do we know the term justification? We hear it a lot, right? And it's actually a legal term. And how I'm going to illustrate this is that imagine we are in a courtroom right now, okay? And God is the ultimate judge. Can you imagine? Okay, and we are all here in this room. We are all sinners. We are guilty. But God, the ultimate judge, choose to say this to you. Righteous! You are righteous! I have forgiven your sin. Go sin no more. Not only that, he said you are innocent, as if you have not sinned. Isn't that powerful? You have not sinned, guys. Even though we are guilty, we deserve hell. But God says that, you know what? We are innocent. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? He didn't actually put a chain around your legs and go like the moment you say, okay, I believe you, God. He didn't put around a chain to say, okay, I'll wait and see a few years to see how you go and then I'll let the chain go. No, he took the shackles off. The moment when you said, Jesus, I believe in you. This is our God. What Jesus has done, what justification is, nothing that you and I could ever do, nothing that we can earn, it is not bought, it can never be bought. It is a gift to us, and it is only through Jesus Christ. It is only through his shed blood, through the death on the cross and his resurrection that we can have this. He washed us as white as snow. He thought of us before the foundation of the world. He reconciled us to the Heavenly Father. Amen? We've got an Abba Father. We can call him Daddy God. It's just like the prodigal son returning to the Father. He set us free. Hallelujah. He set us free from the bondage of sin and death. He wants us to be blameless, church. He wants us to be spotless. He wants to transform our lives to be more and more like him. And not only that, because we can't see Jesus here right now, can we? Because when he left, he sent his Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit, like what Nancy was actually sharing with us this morning. He sent his Spirit. He put his Spirit in us. Wow. What a God. He is a great God. For some of you who do not know me, don't know me very well. I am from Sabah, Malaysia. Who's Sabahans here? Woohoo! Yes. I come from a Muslim family. But I accepted Christ when I was 4 years of age, through my grandmother. I was so crazy in love with this God. And I was like, wow, it's amazing. And, all I wanted to do was to actually share about this God. And, but I had to live as a secret Christian for 20 over years of my life. I was so excited about this God, I wanted to tell people. And the first person I led to Christ was when I was 8 years old. And but it was so funny because I didn't really know how much to say. I just told the person, hey, you don't want to go to hell. You need to know Jesus Christ. That's terrible. How we know the grace of God today. But yeah, that's what I said. And but the person did accept Jesus Christ, praise God, and baptized the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit as well when I was 9 years old and started speaking in tongues. And I was like, what is that? But I knew that I was the Spirit of God. And I was called to minister. Actually, my first ministering when I was 9 years old to minister to worship. But that is besides the point. But I lived as a secret Christian for 20 over years. I read the Bible behind closed doors. I would worship God under my bed. And that's why I think if you see me jumping or screaming out the loudest here, if you know the freedom that I have to go through or the pain that I had to go through, just to hear the worship songs under the bed was pretty hard. So I'm not sorry when I scream and shout for God. Hallelujah. Amen. But at the same time as I was doing this, I was also reading the Quran. I would fast. I would pray 5 times a day. I had to be a pretender in front of people. My father was very abusive. He was verbally abusive. He was emotionally abusive and also physically. I would sneak out to go to youth groups and would go to church. It was a 2-hour bus ride, guys. No parents sending me. It was dangerous then too. But when I come home, I would be beaten by my father. He would call me a failure, stupid. Everything I did was not good enough. When I was 16, I was caught reading the Bible and he hit me. He forced me to accept Islam and he made me recite the New Believer's Prayer. And I told him, And this was the first time I stood up and I told my father and I looked him in the eye and I said, you can never change my heart for Jesus Christ. And I think this is what we should all be as Christians, that we are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Amen? He still made me do. I was persecuted for the next 1 year again until he caught me again reading the Bible. Never seemed to learn my lesson. And then he disowned me. I have not yet spoken to my father, but I'm praying for him for his salvation. Please pray with me, church. But you know, I really thank God that my Heavenly Father, I found my Heavenly Father only just 10 years ago that I could call him Heavenly Father. I couldn't before because I could only see Jesus as my brother, as my friend, and as a Savior, but never a Father. But God, thank God there's a but all the time, but God. But God rejoices over us as his sons and daughters. He rejoices. He has patience. He's kind. He's abounding in love. He believes in me and you. He never would abandon you and me. Still good? Okay, let's continue with the first verse still. I still haven't gone on. Don't worry, I will finish this. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. The word seek here actually means to worship, to desire, to inquire, to require. God is telling us, do you notice here, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, you, he's talking about, he's not talking about other people, he's not talking about God, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit, he's talking about you and me. He said, seek those things that we are to inquire, that we are to, it's an action. It is not just, okay, I read this, but you know what? Okay, it's not really for me, but it is for us, right? It is. We are to respond. There is a call to respond. It is an action. It is a verb, all right? And he says, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And then verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above. It says again, set your mind on things above. And another translation actually says seek as well, the word seek as well. But then another translation actually says set your affections. Set your affections or exercise the mind. Church, I believe when God saved us, he didn't just tell us to say, hey, I'm very happy to be sons and daughters, to be your daughter or to be a son for you, Lord. But he told us to set our eyes, to set our minds, our affections to him. He wants to exercise our mind. He just doesn't want us to sit down and just go in one ear and come out the other ear. He wants us to do something about it, to respond. Can we do that, church? He said, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, in verse 3, for you died. You died. What does it mean, you died? We look at Galatians 2:20 in slide 6, please, Robert. Galatians 2:20, this verse Pastor used this last week, and it's a favorite verse, my favorite verse. Can we read this together? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. What does that mean, you died? We are still here, right? How come we're still here? It is our old nature, church. Our old nature has been put to death when Christ died. And when he rose again, our new nature also rose. We get it, church? We continue in verse 3. And your life now is hidden. There's a big guy here. Chester, come. Okay, Chester, you stand in front of me. Okay, people on the side, I'm sure you could see me. But people in the middle, could you see me? No? Good. Because I'm hidden. I'm hidden. I'm hidden. Why? Put up your hands still. I'm hidden because Jesus, not Chester, Jesus is in front of me. His blood has washed me. I'm covered by the blood. I'm white as snow. Thank God you're wearing white. I'm white as snow. And what do? We put on Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Do you get this picture? This is how, thank you, Chester. This is how we are called to live. I like what Pastor prayed for me. It is indeed no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. These words that I'm speaking today is not just merely words, but a words to actually, that's coming from God. This is the life that He has called us, to be a new creation. Amen? Remember that picture in your head? You see, with that, with Chester, or with Jesus standing in front of me, I now know my identity. My identity is in, come on, say it louder, in Christ. That's right. My identity is in Christ Jesus. I am known as a daughter, sons and daughter of the Most High God. So what does that mean when Jesus is in front of me? He is seated at the right hand of God. Amen? So that means I am seated in heavenly places. Amen? That is where our place is. But you know what? God is just not interested to just call us sons and daughters. He wants more than that for us. He wants us to live out being sons and daughters. He wants us to live a spirit-led life. He wants us to live a victorious life. He wants us to live a purposeful life. He just doesn't want us to come into church every Sunday and just being, I mean, we come to church being to be transformed, amen? And also come to church to worship God together as a congregation, but He doesn't want it to just happen once a week. He wants it daily. You know, first He gives us a title, but He also tells us how to live it. Let's look at verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. We'll stop there. It says all these other things here. They said the members on the earth, which is fornication, uncleanness, passion. These are what we are surrounded with. Guys, do you agree that we are surrounded with all these things every day? Yes, we are. We are surrounded. But there is an instruction. It says, put to death. Sometimes we can be very complacent with things around. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. What? It won't affect me. But it will. And He calls us to choose. He asks us to make a cognitive decision. He gave us a brain, a frontal lobe here to make decisions, to know what is right, what is wrong. And He says, you can make a decision. And He says that, put to death. Put to death is an instruction. Put to death these things. I was talking to my sister about this yesterday, and the word came out as, oh yeah, old habits die hard. Old habits die hard. But we have been renewed, amen? We have been renewed by the blood of Jesus. The way we are to do this, it's easy. If we turn into Romans 6:11, it's the slide number 7, please. The instruction here is so easy. The first thing you need to do when you come to this place, when you're exposed to these things that's happening in your life, when you go through certain trials in your life, what do you do? What do you say? But you come back to your place. You come back at your position that you know where you are, which is you are a sons and daughters of the Most High God. So what do? You take Romans 6:11 and you say, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, in Mark 4, it talks about the cares of this life. You know, the cares of this life will bring so much damage to us as a Christian. if we allow it in our lives, because it takes our focus off our purpose, our affection for Jesus. He didn't call us to live like that. The cares of life, such as broken relationships, loss of family member, sickness, pressure, disease, worrying about children, lack of finances, job security, what people say about me, you, how we look, putting on weight, losing weight, exams, stress, preparing this sermon. It was, to be honest, preparing this sermon actually helps me and know what God is doing in my life. And I'm reminded again, and I'm humbled by what God is doing. I like what Pastor taught to us last week when he said that, you know, we talked about the fixed mindset and the growth mindset. You know, how the fixed mindset people are the people who let one event in their life, you know, rule their whole lives after that, make that will actually influence their decisions in their lives. Yes? Do you remember that? I just want to share a little bit about, again, a little bit of my story, what has happened. I wish that I could tell you that the moment I accepted Christ, everything else was rosy. But as you can tell, what happened with my father. But not only that, I went to a Chinese school when I was growing up. So yes, I can speak Mandarin, married to a wonderful Chinese man, Mr. Wong. But I didn't have a good experience when I was growing up with Chinese people. I didn't. I was the only colored skin in school. I was I was called names. I was called a lot of names. I was called Black Ghost, Indian Ghost, or Malay Ghost. Malay Goya, Indo Goya. Call me all those names. But guys, I cried for more than 6 years of my life every day when I hear those words. And those names, those words didn't stop until after I left high school. I have had people spat at me as well because, and to be honest, if I use that as that event that happened in my life, I would actually say, I do not want to be in it. Don't want to marry a Chinese man. I would have nothing to do with Chinese people. But God is good, amen? He is in the business of healing people. He just doesn't leave you just the way you are. when you got saved. And today, look, I'm surrounded by beautiful, wonderful Chinese people. Hallelujah. They're one of my best friends. Really, my best friend is Chinese. No, it's good. Praise God. At that time as well, after all the things that happened to me, you know, I tried going to church. But I was rejected because of the Muslim law in Malaysia. They would not really allow Muslims to actually go to church. If you need to go, you have to sneak in or be very quiet about it. So I was pretty much rejected at the time. I was sexually molested. I was raped on two other occasions. I was cast into a very dark place in my life. I was so broken. I smoked. I tried drugs. I drank myself drunk a few times a week. I fell in and out of relationships. I had 4 abortions. I sought for help and was rejected by my Christian friends. I lost everything. I decided to end my life. It was actually my 5th attempt of trying to end my life. So I had this conversation with God on my last attempt. I told God, I don't want you anymore. I love you, but I don't want you. I have like this love-hate relationship. I love you, but I want to go to hell. I'm done with Christian people because I felt no one helped me. And in that time, God showed me I had a momentary experience of hell. What does that mean? I was in a very dark place. I was actually in my room, but then suddenly I was in this experience that I can't even see my hands in front of me. I felt a torment that was eternal, that there was no hope in this place. Guys, you better enjoy singing up here because there's no singing in hell. And you're not going to hell anyway. You're not. Thank you, God, because of His saving grace. You know, I believe God showed me that, was to tell me that that is not the place for you. My grace is sufficient for you. I was so scared because I felt the Holy Spirit left me. And I said, oh my goodness, all this while you have been there for me? The Holy Spirit was there all this while and I didn't even realize it? How stupid could I be? And I wanted to take my life. I wanted to end my life because I felt worthless, because I had nothing. But I'm here standing before you because of God's grace. And that I chose to say, I am going to follow you, Jesus. I believed when I was 4 years old. I tried a lot of things. I tried to make things happen for my life. I worked with God in my mind, but not with His Spirit. I didn't know how to. I wish people taught me, helped me, and walked with me and journeyed with me. That's why we are called into discipleship, church. It's important that we are in discipleship. I surrendered to God. And I said, okay, I decide to follow you. I follow you. You be the driver. You know what's funny? Just want to tell this a little bit of experience. When I told God that, all my life before that time, before that moment, I always had this reoccurring dream that I'm always at the back seat and I always want to try and drive the car. Have you ever had that? Probably not. but it's like, you know, probably psychological because I always want to be in control. I just realized it. I haven't had that dream since when I said that I want Jesus to take over. But I have been having that dream for years, for 20 over years. And I said, oh, Lord. And I always feel like I'm losing my way because I want to grab that wheel. But today, I know who's grabbing my wheel. It's Jesus. So that, my friends, I haven't concluded my message. I'm almost there. That begins my recovery to walk with Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, I talked about how we come to know Christ, right? And then how we put to death the things and the struggles that we go through in lives, that we are called to put to death these things. But then how do we get back up? And this is the part, my road of recovery, that I could share with you. Maybe it will help you. If it doesn't help you, maybe someone else would need to hear it. I surrendered everything. I submitted to my Lord Jesus. He took me out of the rut. So He deserved all my honor, all the honor He deserves. And that the road to recovery is this. We look at verse 10. And have put on the new man. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Wow. Guys, for whatever that I have gone through, I would have probably feel, no way am I going to survive. But this is what I did. I took on the Word of God. My old pastor told me, and when I told him what was happening, I was so transparent. I told him everything, and he gave me this word, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. If you know this, you can say it with me. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow. So what you see today, it's no longer the broken Rena. This is Christ is in front of me. Thanks, Chester. Christ in front of me. I'm a new creation. And how that happened, it wasn't easy. This, from then on, I had to go through this process of being transformed. And it is called sanctification. Have we heard this word before? Yeah, sanctification. What I did, church, I washed myself intentionally with that verse. I had to look at myself and see myself as a new creation every day in front of the mirror. I couldn't face my face. I couldn't face myself. I couldn't. But I took on what God says about me. And all the old things have passed away. And behold, I am a new creation. You see, God doesn't try and repair a car. He just doesn't try and change the body of a car because if it's something wrong with the car, he gives completely new. It's completely new because it's not me anymore. I have died. I've been crucified with Christ. Amen? I stand with how Christ sees me, how God sees me. So I read the word daily. I became so hungry. I bathe in it. I sauna in it. Whatever you can think of. I got hungry and hungrier. It actually fueled my affection for him. I learned about how he interacts with people in the Bible. I took the words on, and every time I read it, I said, oh, these words, oh, they're speaking to me. And, you know, I start chewing it. I start meditating it. And you know what? I start renewing my mind. The old, I'm forgetting. And to be honest, I've forgotten so many things. but writing this, I'm remembering back. But you know what? But when I remember those things in the past, if you remember Psalm 23, it says that I lead you into the path of righteousness. So that means when we first came to know Christ, he covers us. You know, when the prodigal son, he got the rope of righteousness. That is what God did to me. He covered me. He put the rope of righteousness. And though through I walked to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I have the rope of righteousness. That is why we can go through and look through things in our past and say, but this is what God has done for me. So I sought his face daily, praying in the spirit, 2 hours a day, sometimes more. But what I also did is because my mind was getting renewed and there were old things wanting to creep up, and it was not easy, church. Do you think it's easy to go through these things? It was really hard, but by the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, and his word washing me every day, that I can take every thought captive. That means the thoughts that is not of God, you take it and let it bow down to Christ. And you hate sin. You put to death sin in your life and be alive in Christ. And it's intentional. It's consciously doing something about it. You see, when we first were born again, you see, God put his spirit in us. But the thing is, if we keep him shut, if we keep him quiet, which we can do, we can quench the Holy Spirit, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, because he wants to work in us. He wants to work in this, in sanctifying us, in this process. Sanctification is a process. We could grieve it by keeping him shut. But what he wants us to do is he is in the business of transforming us. Amen? In that time as well, I look for someone to disciple me, to mentor me. As I mentioned earlier, it is so important that we are in discipleship. As you know, that our church has actually started the 1330, Jeremy Deng and Evie, we together have put this discipleship culture that we want to build in this church. We want to establish in this church. And we invite you, old, young, it doesn't matter what age you are. We are all called to be in discipleship. We are all disciples of Jesus Christ. So the older generation, please do not feel that you have nothing to input, nothing to give. You have so much of experience with Christ that we, the younger ones, want to hear. Don't hold back. And there are things as well that I didn't just do is I didn't just mow the troubles in my life or the issues in my life, because being Christians, we still face troubles, right? We still go through things. We still go through a lot of hardship, but we don't just mow things. We just don't mow the weeds and we just don't cover it up. What do I mean by covering it up? When I ask, so how are you, Josh? And you say, oh, good. But actually, his mind is like, oh, you know, I'm actually having trouble at home with my studies. But okay, you probably don't. You're a smart kid. You got good parents. All of you are wonderful parents here. I really thank God for that, for First Light Church, that you all are very supportive to send your youth to grow in Christ. But we are not here to cover up, but but rather allow Jesus to deal with the real issues in our hearts. He wants to transform our hearts, not just work around things around us. So church, the same way we put to death things, it says that it's an action. The same way we put on the new man, amen? It is also an action. It is a process. It's like putting on your shoes. You don't just have the shoe there instantly. It is a process. I never used to like process because it's painful. I wanted everything to happen instantly, thinking God has a magic wand. Whatever I ask, he can give it to me straight away. No way. I connected with God only with my mind, but I didn't know how to deal with him in the spirit. I used to be afraid of so many things. But thank God. Thank God that I'm willing to go through this process, which is called sanctification. There are times that it's going to be hard. Like David said, his hand, the Lord's hand was heavy upon him. That was in Psalm 32. But which father doesn't correct its child, right? Father, do you correct your children when they're wrong? Mothers, yes? Yes. They do. But you know what? That's what Jesus, that's what God says as well in Hebrews 12:6. For the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So I welcome his correction through my parents, through pastor, through Auntie Dot sometimes, my sister, my husband. Don't be afraid, guys. I'm going to conclude here, church. Did the message speak to you? What is asking us, or what this verse is actually asking us, is to put to action. It's okay, Sonia. You know, I don't know where all of you all are at, but God knows who you are, where you are at. But all I can say, church, we don't have to play church anymore. We can be real. And we have a good God. He gave us a great gospel. And there is hope. If he can take me out of the rut, he can also take you out of the rut. You see, church, God has a groove for each and every one of you. He has a dance groove. But for you to learn the dance, you need to ask him. Because he wants to work with you, but you need to respond. I know that firsthand, that he has the best for you. I'm just going to sing a song and just ask Chester to come up. Thank you.